Were there still people in the world who wouldn't recognize that sound for what it is? She doesn't know. Wincing, she gets to her feet and starts walking, sucking on the toothpick. It makes her mouth less dry. Sunset seems to take a very long time here, fantastic shades of red. When she realizes she won't be able to keep walking in the dark, she gives up and sits down. "Well, fucked," she says, an expression of Damien's that seems to cover things. She gets out her mint, unwraps it, and puts it in her mouth. It's starting to get cold. She unties the sleeves of the Rixons, puts it on, and zips it up. She can feel the chill on her back still, because it's in tatters now, where she tore out strips of the interlining to use to bind her feet. They'd helped a little, but she doubts she's going to be able to do much more walking, even when the sun comes up. She's trying not to suck on the mint, because that'll make it go faster. Probably she should take it out and save it for later, but she has nowhere to put it. She unzips the cigarette pocket on the jacket's left sleeve, discovering the card from the Curry House, the one Baranov had written Stella's address on. She looks at his precise brown italics, the color of dried blood, until it's too dark to read them. The stars are coming out. After a while, when her eyes have adjusted, she realizes she can see two towers of light, off in the distance, in the direction she thinks she's been walking in. They aren't like the memorial display from Ground Zero, but like the towers of her dream in London, only fainter, farther away. "You aren't supposed to be in Siberia," she says to them. And then she knows he's there. "I think I might die here," she says. "I mean, I think I could."
"You might,"
he says. "Will I?"
"I wouldn't know."
"But aren't you dead?"
"Hard to say."
"Was that you in the music last night?"
"Hallucination."
"I thought it was Mom's EVP, finally."
"No comment."
She smiles. "That dream in London?"
"No comment."
"I love you."
"I know you do. I have to go."
"Why?"
"Listen."
And he's gone, and this time, she somehow knows, for good. And then she hears the sound of a helicopter from somewhere behind her, and turning, sees the long white beam of light sweeping the dead ground as it comes, like a lighthouse gone mad from loneliness, and searching that barren ground as foolishly, as randomly, as any grieving heart ever has.
This is the end of the CD. The audiobook continues on the next CD.